Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 26. As I said last week, we were on God show up. He showed up in the Ark of the Covenant and the power there, that we not just be content with knowing what the Bible says, but that we insist on experiencing His presence and His joy and His power. God show up every day. God show up at VBS. That was last week. I trust that you've experienced God showing up this week, and it's a wonderful, wonderful time. When God shows up, you have a story, and the story comes in Psalm 91. Let's look at it together. Psalm 91. It says, God says, I will save those who love me and protect those who acknowledge me as Lord. When they call on me, I will answer them. When they are in trouble, I will be with them. I will honor and rescue them. I will reward them with long life. I will save them. That's a story. And everybody has a story. If you know the Lord, you have a story. If you're walking with the Lord, you have a story. And just as the blind man that found Jesus, he says, all I know is I was blind, but now I what? See. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do you think they had a story? Well, they had a story. They could tell the story, what happened to me. Also, Mary had a story. All the Marys, there were three Marys. Mary Magdalene. Did Mary Magdalene have a story? My, she had a story to tell and to realize. Did Esther have a story? Did Paul have a story? He told his story all the time in the book of Acts. Three times he mentions the story of how he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. And it's amazing to have a story to tell, and we all have a story for God's glory, okay? God wants you and me to use us, to use our story for His glory, okay? You have a story. And we need to note that. We have a story, one of the great stories in Luke chapter 8. I trust you're all there. Luke chapter 8, verse 26 to 39. As Patrick was saying, this man did not grow up in a Christian home, okay? And this is one of the most demonic, wicked men in the New Testament. But he finds Jesus, and he changes. Is that right? And he has a story. Everybody there, Luke 8, verse 26. Come and read it for us, please.
I trust that you're all there or will be there. In the Red Pew Bibles, it's on pages 758 to 759. And in Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Follow along as I read. And they arrived at the country of the Gadareans, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters. And he brake the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadareans round about them besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own home, thine own house, and show how great things God has done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Thank you.
This man is saved in his adult life from great sins, okay? And this man, he comes to Jesus and does he know who Jesus is? He knows who he is. And this man is a crazy man. This man is a man that society doesn't even like. He is not accepted in the society. He lives in the tombs. He runs around naked. Nakedness is not accepted in a society. Is that right? And all of that, catch that. And it's amazing that we have this man filled with demons, filled with devils. And here he's saying, God, help me. And it's amazing what we have here, that this man comes up and cries to Jesus, and Jesus has compassion on him, and he's been put in chains, he's been put in prisons, he's been an outcast, and he has so much demonic power, he breaks all the chains, and he comes out, and he's driven by the devil into the wilderness. In verse 29, it says, For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oft times it, the spirit, the evil spirit, the demons, had caught him. They had taken control of this man, and they had even, when he was placed under guard and put in chains and shackles, he simply broke them and rushed out into the wilderness completely under the demon's power, okay? This man is needing Jesus badly, and Jesus spends time with him, and he receives healing from the demon, and he believes in Jesus. What amazes me is the town people. Look down in verse 35. And they, you got to know all the pronouns in this text, who they referred to. They is the townspeople. They heard the story from the pig farmer saying, man, our pigs all of a sudden just run down the hill and drown in the river. And this man is delivered from the demons. And they were afraid. I don't understand that. I would be overjoyed if this man that was wild and hurt people and was out of control and weird and he got saved and he was doing well. They were afraid. And I asked myself, what are they afraid of? They're afraid of God. I don't know. And they were afraid. And they told Jesus to what? Leave. Man, I'd tell Jesus to what? Come. And these people, just opposite, verse 35, they were fearful of him. And the whole town met in verse 37 and said, Leave, depart, for we're greatly afraid. We don't understand. And Jesus complied and left. And it's amazing. Do we live in a world that can see the hand of God do things and just back off and not want it? We do. And this man, I love this man. I love verse 38 and 39. I have it on the screen here. Verse 38 and 39. It says, Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away. Sent him to his house, okay? Sent him to his home and said, Return to thine house, thy family, and show how great things God hath done for thee. And he went his way. He went back to his family, his town, his everyday world, and published or told his story throughout the whole city, how great things the Lord hath done for him. Did this man have a story? Wow, this man has a story. I don't know. I was not saved out of great sin. I was saved at 5 years old as a terrible sinner, you know? But if you've been saved as an adult and you have a story for your salvation, tell your story. Amen? Tell your story. glory. Let me state this. If you're a teenager or a child being reared in a church and having a Christian family and having Christian friends will save you a lot of heartache. Okay? If you have gone from the Lord and you as an adult got saved, praise God where you are. That is very important that you understand that. You know, your journey, put the next slide up. This is a great slide here. Your journey here, it says, your journey has molded you for the greater good. It was exactly what it needed to be. Don't think you've lost time. It took each and every situation you have encountered to bring you to the now, and the now is right on time. Is that true? Don't look back and say, "Wow, I wasted a lot of years," or "I should have got saved when I was 15." You know, don't. You have a story. You can reach people that I can't reach. Is that right? You have a story, and don't back away from that story. Don't be ashamed. Put the next slide up. It says, never be ashamed of what you've been through. God will use your story for His glory. Sometimes we think, oh, wow, I'm a terrible sinner. No, tell your story. Tell your story. This man had a story. He went back and they said, who are you? He says, I'm the guy that used to run and naked in the tombs and wild and demon-possessed, and I've been saved. He was sitting at the feet of Jesus in his right mind. And wow, you know, God changed me. He had a story to tell, and it's very important what you were saved from. If you've been saved from some horrible sins, you can reach those people. Don't forget that. God didn't allow you to go through your journey and not use it afterwards. 1 Corinthians, I got it up here. 1 Corinthians says, don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. No sexual immoral person, idolaters, adulterers, or any practicing homosexual, or thieves, greedy people, drunkards, verbal abusive people, or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you to be like this. But you are what? But you are what? But you are what? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God, you've been cleansed. You've been forgiven. Tell your story. If you've been saved, oh, preacher, you just don't know. No. Tell your story. That's a great story to tell. And don't be ashamed of that. Don't be ashamed of your story. It will inspire others. It's very important. This man was told by Jesus. He said, Jesus, can I come with you? My goodness, can I come with you? And Jesus said what? No. Go back to your family. Go back to your town. Go back to your world and tell them how great things God has done for you. That's your story. And if you have a story, a salvation account, I don't have a big salvation account. I've done most of my sins after I was saved. Okay? Now think about that. If you're saved at 5 years old, have you done more of your sins before you were five or after you're five? Afterwards, okay? But if you have a salvation account that you got saved as a teenager, an adult, and you realize the sins and you got a story to tell that you've been forgiven, tell it! And don't back off from it or be ashamed from it. Have the courage to speak up and tell it of who you are with your whole heart and enjoy it. And realize, that's why God saved me. God allowed all of that. Is that right? Now let me state this. If you haven't gone through that and you're a young person, don't go there. You'll be spared a lot of heartache. If it has happened, there is no reverse, and God forgives, and you have a story. Oh, don't run from that. Also, I have another one called Peter. Did Peter have a story also? Peter's story. Peter's story is like a rocking boat. Is that right? And he had a story to tell, and I'm going to tell his story here. Let's look at his story. I hope you can see all of this. Peter met Jesus, is that right? He met Jesus. Who introduced him to Jesus? His brother Andrew, is that right? His brother Andrew found Jesus, follower of John the Baptist, went and got his brother and he met Jesus. Then he started following Jesus, okay? Now, I don't know when Peter got saved. Okay? I do know Peter followed Jesus right here. And then as Peter was following Jesus, he saw a lot of miracles. Seeing his own mother-in-law healed. He's seen a person raised from the dead. Do you think that changed Peter's life? Here's Peter's gets saved and he sees miracles. And then he gets with Jesus. Remember, he walks on the water. He's sitting with Jesus and he says, Lord, can I come to you? Where were the other disciples? In the boat. Only Peter got out on the water. Peter believed. I don't know if he got saved there, okay? What happened when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and saw all the winds and the waves? What happened? He sank. He got back in the flesh, didn't he? His spirit was growing. His faith was growing. And then he fell back into the flesh. Do we do that? Okay? And the flesh came. And he realized he was sinking. Did Jesus pick him up when he was sinking? Yeah. And his faith. And then he learned, and Jesus said, Peter, who do people say that I am? Some say this, some say that. But he says, what do you say, Peter? And he said, what? I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And all I know is I feel Peter got saved right there. He's coming to Jesus, seeing it, it's real, and he tries it, and he sinks, and he knows he can't do it himself, and he realizes he needs Jesus. I don't know if he got saved here, or here, I don't know. Does it matter? No. I don't know. You know, I was saved when I was 5, and I grew up in a Christian home. I've known about it all my life, okay? And there was years that I was strong, and there were years I was weak. Is that right? And you realize, wow, that's dumb. Oh, man. And I'm so glad the Lord forgives me. I have more of a sanctification testimony than a salvation testimony. That's my story, okay? And God led me. And here, Peter's same way. And Peter states who he is, and then Jesus getting ready to go to the cross, and Peter says, no, Lord, don't. And the Lord said, get thee behind me, Satan. Is that right? He rebuked him right there. So after being in the spirit and faith growing, he gets in back into the flesh. And then Jesus comes and he whips his sword out and cuts the guy's ear off. He's in the flesh there. Lord turned back to him and said, put your sword away. And he's in the flesh again. And then he goes down. Remember, the Lord says, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. And Peter says, what? I'll never deny you. And what's he do? Denies him. I want you to know this is the low part of Peter's life. Do you know what Peter did after denied him 3 times? He went out and what? Wept bitterly. He repented. That's when he turned around and he repented and he started back. He got out of the flesh and got into the spirit, got into faith, and he realized then he was the great preacher on the day of Pentecost. Is that right? The Holy Spirit came into his life. He became the great preacher. Then they said, Peter, stop preaching the name of Jesus. And he said, what? I can't do that. I got to preach. And then he led the first Gentile to the Lord in Cornelius, and then he got thrown into jail. His faith is growing, isn't it? His faith is growing. And then Paul hits him one time. Remember, he comes up and he gathers in and settles in with a bunch of Jews and the Gentiles all around, and he starts playing favoritism to the Jews again, and Paul blesses him out right there. Paul, you hypocrite. You hypocrite, Peter. And he gets in his flesh again. So here he's in the spirit and gets in the flesh for a little bit, in the spirit again, in his faith. Then he's in the flesh a lot, and then he gets back in the spirit and grows, jumps down here, the book of 2 Peter, 1 and 2 Peter. Ever read the book of 1 and 2 Peter? Peter found how to walk with God. There's great two books. He knew how to walk with God, and he kept growing in his faith. And you realize that it goes that way. Put the last one up there. He keeps growing in his faith. I want you to see a pattern here. What is the pattern? There's what? There's growth, okay? That's his story. Peter can say, I was with the Lord and I denied him. But the Lord forgave me and I wept bitterly. And then the Lord empowered me. Me who denied the Lord, got to preach the great message at Pentecost. And God used me. I hadn't even got thrown in jail. I got in the flesh again and forgot about the Gentiles and everything. And then the Lord taught me everything in 1st and 2nd Peter. And the walk with God's been great. That's Peter's story. Peter's story. More of a story of sanctification. And you never have Peter telling you like Paul. It was on the day of the road to Damascus. I was going to kill all the Christians. Bang! A light hit me. And I fell down. And he said, Lord. And he says, who are you? And he says, I'm Jesus. And Paul was blind. You think Paul ever forgot that day? No. I didn't have that experience, okay? If you did, praise God, it's your story. Tell it. But if you have a story like Peter's of some ups and downs in your life, tell that too and realize that it is wonderful to say God is just wonderful. Aren't you glad you're like a work in progress, huh? That God isn't finished with you. You're a work in progress. Is that true of all of us? That's your story. And we got to be working on the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. The works of the flesh. We need to work on our hatred and our discord and our jealousies and our fits of rage and anger and selfish ambitions and dissensions and fractions and envies. Do we? You got to work on that. Aren't you glad when God gives you victory over one of those? You know, preacher, I used to get mad all the time, and God has helped me, and I haven't gotten mad for a while. And when I do get mad, I don't stay there anymore. I used to stay there for a month, you know. And I've gotten victory. I've gotten victory over my jealousy. I've gotten victory over my pride. That's your story. Is that right? That's your story. You go into the fruits of the Spirit, and you realize I've stopped doing those things, and I've start doing some of these things. And you realize that's my story, that I've developed some self-control, that I've developed some patience. Amen? And you realize, I'm growing. That's your story. So tell your story how it is, because life's a journey. Life's a journey. And it says, life is a journey with problems to solve, lessons to learn, and most of all, experiences to enjoy and to grasp that. And God help us, because we're on a journey. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, let us run the race. Is that right? Put your eyes on Jesus. Don't look back. Go forward. And the demoniac in Luke 8 had a salvation story. Bang! Changed. Wow! Whoa! You were that and now you're this? Wow! Peter had more of an account of daily activity, walking with God some, sinking in the water, getting back to God, going back to denying the Lord, repenting, being used of God, jumping back. And is that right? Peter, that's his story. What's your story? What's your story for God's glory? Every person here, if you're saved here this morning, you have a story. Huh? You have a story. Sometimes I think we forget that. Do you know what brings people to Christ? Your story. You don't go up to them and start quoting them Romans 3:23. You go up and tell them what? Your story. Did Paul tell his story all the time? That was his main thought. This is my story. The blind man, all I know, what happened to you, man? He says, all I know is I met this man and I was blind and now I see, and his name was Jesus. That's it. That's his story. This man on the demoniac, he says, I met Jesus, he changed my life, and now I'm clothed and I'm sitting in my right mind and I'm in self-control, and God did it. Praise his name. And you need, that's a story. We all have a story. I like what this says. Everyone has a story to tell. Someone needs to hear your story. Well, nobody want to hear my story. Yes. if you have a salvation account that God has saved you from some things, and it's wonderful, tell your story. If you have a sanctification account of some ups and downs, how God forgives you, how God led you away from this, how God helped you here, how God did this, that's your story. What's your story? We're going to take some time here to tell our story. I believe that we should do what we say. In a few minutes, you're going to get a person next to you. Don't get a family member. Get somebody that's not a family member. And I want you to tell your story to them. Oh, preacher, I can't do that. Yeah, you can. Do you know people get saved not because so much of you giving them the information of how to get saved? I do believe people need to have the why of salvation before they get the how of salvation. They need to know that salvation works. Salvation changes lives. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And my chains are gone. I've been set free. And you realize, wow, that's what it's all about. We are to live for the glory of God. We're not to live for ourselves. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. We're to live for the glory of God. And, you know, I'm not working out my salvation and letting God work in me according to my will. It's not happened according to I had it. Look what this says. It just says this. It says, my life, hit that one. My life may not be going the way I planned it, but it's going exactly the way God planned it. Is that true? That's your story. And it's so important to catch that life lived well, the story for His glory. Life lived well is letting God use you, your weaknesses, your story for His glory. Each of us have a different story. I have a different story. Children have different stories. Teenagers have different stories. If you're saved, you have a story. And you need parents, you need to go home this week and talk to your children about their story. Very important. And to develop the story, what's God done in your life? I've put some points here together, and this is our last point before we get together. You're going to break up here in a few minutes. What's your story for His glory? Each of us has a salvation account. Is that right? How you got saved? What happened? Who was there? Why'd you do it? What drew you to it? What'd you believe? How did it change your life? Is that right? Your salvation account. Secondly, it would be our dedication, that God moved in our life with some dedication. And God helped us and we dedicated. Maybe you don't have a great account of salvation, but you know, I know in my life there's been about four times when I really dedicated my life afresh to God. And those have been very big to me and just changed my life. And I realized I'm God's. And as you grow older, if you're 12, you're going to have one 15, 16, and you're going to have one at 18, 19, and you're going to have one 22, 23. Is that true? And we keep going, and it's neat. I have rededicated my life to the ministry this year and said, wow, you know, we got to keep going. We got to double up. We got to realize just this morning as I was walking outside, I just said, God, we can't lighten up. We must toughen up and realize there's a lost world out here. And I got to tell my story and I got to touch the people in my everyday world. And to have dedication, to have direction. Maybe God's giving you some great guidance and he's led you in a direction. Also, He's clearly used you with your counsel or your comfort or your care or your giving or your helping. Or He clearly taught you something. You opened the Bible. Wham! Huh? Isn't it great? And then prayers answered. You need to keep track of prayers answered, because that's when God, that's your story. And then you receive peace. Do you receive peace? That's your story. And then victory over sin. That's your story. Preacher, God gave me victory here. And when you're talking to somebody, your story story is the most important thing to tell, okay? I want you to get with somebody. Get with somebody. If you want to get with two or three, I know this is kind of awkward, but I think it's very important. I want you to tell your story. Tell when you got saved. Share when you got saved. Share when a big event's in your life, direction, or a prayer answered, or a God using you. That's your story. Let's divide up in groups here. Let's just get around. Let's all talk, okay? Share your story. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Share your story. Share your story. I'm going to give you about 5 minutes here. When you got saved, what's God done in your life? Share your story. Share your story. We have a story to tell for His glory. Tell your story for His glory. Tell it. Very, very important that we understand that God has given us the story for His glory. Put the next one up. And to realize that the man said, Lord, I would just rather come with you. And the Lord says, what? No. You go to your family and to your world and to your town, and you tell everybody what great things the Lord hath done for thee. That's our job this week. Lord Jesus, thank you for the opportunity to use us. Lord, we're not much. We're just regular folk. And Lord, but you saved us. And you saved us to bring you glory. And you gave each of us a different story. And that different story for your glory will touch somebody. Somebody needs our story. Lord, bring us to those people this week. And Lord, bless VBS. And you show up next Sunday. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Thank you very much.